So I need an intervention, though.
How?
I'm sitting here drinking MD 2020.
Why?
Because I do it sometimes.
You're fucking JK. So I've seen you move through from in Lanarkshire there. At least it's no Buckfast right enough. That's the main thing.
Well, that's coming. I've found an offie down here that does it. So.
You are joking. What are you like, man? I thought you were quite respectable.
I'm always respectable, just in doses.
MD 2020, what are you like, man?
Limited edition pineapple version.
Even just the thought of the taste of that is like rank. I hate anything like that. See anything fruity, I absolutely hate it.
It's not bad. The orange one's the best one.
Oh my god. Oh.
That's something I had to pick a bone with and I forgot. Day one of tier 4 lockdown, user posting fucking pictures of you in a restaurant in bloody Falkirk.
Exactly. Quality.
Bastard.
That was just for breakfast, though. That was not anything.
Breakfast for breakfast. Oh.
There was a lot to talk about, though, mate, to be perfect, to be honest with you. Aye. So it was a long end, so there you go. But that's fine.
That's what she said.
Aye, exactly. Aye. You wish.
It was a long high ball from. Fucking first game and I'm fucking not ready.
It was a long high ball from fucking
yeah. For the late kickoff against Benfica.
Mm-hmm. And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Hi everyone and welcome to the next episode of the iReady podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
Derek, I am fantastic, mate. How are you?
I'm fantastic as well. I mean, I've transferred my bank account to Nationwide. So the staff members, Jack and Kamara, dealt with me, so I'm happy there. And I've also signed up for a loyalty card with Papa John's as well. So, and I've also taken shares out in a Harris Fencing Company.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's just a great time to be alive, Derek. Really.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as you can tell, it's been a great couple of weeks, hasn't it? And certainly results for us and results for them as well.
Derek, it has been beyond what we were expecting, hasn't it been? It's been excellent. Just another fantastic victories, which we're going to get into. Things are looking bright, and on the other side of the city, it's been even better. Hilarity is just great. Honestly, at this time, I think on Sunday when the scores came through, I don't think my phone stopped buzzing till about midnight that night with people sending me funny pictures and jokes and things like that. So it's been a long time coming, Derek, put it that way. I'm still trying not to get too carried away, but with the way that we're playing at the moment, Derek, it's great. Our confidence is just sky high and it's just fantastic to see.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not getting carried away. That's the main thing. And
yep, you know,
there's
definitely
still a lot of football to be played, mm-hmm. but we'll get into that anyway. Yep. So obviously we've got three wins to talk about. We may as well go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. So the first game we've got to talk about was Sunday the 29th of November. It was away to Falkirk where we won 4-0 in the League Cup round two. Seven changes from the Benfica game, the previous game there, and obviously more concerningly, we had no Hellander in the squad either as he tested positive for COVID. So as I said on the post-match, we hope he has a quick recovery and there's no ill effects from that as well.
Yep.
So we lined up McLaughlin, Tavernier, Goldson, Bassey, Barisic, Arfield, Hadji, Zungu, Barker, Itten and Defoe. On the subs bench, we had Firth, Stewart, Kent, Kamara, Morelis, Balogun, Middleton, Dixon and King. So it was plain sailing, wasn't it? Very routine, as we expected. No disrespect to Falkirk, but they're a couple of divisions below us. We made seven changes as we expected they would, taking it a wee bit easier, and we still ended up winning 4-0.
Yep, it was plain sailing, Derek. It was a thoroughly professional performance, which is what we expecting in these matches. A few seasons ago, we would have probably have been sweating and wondering what Rangers team showed up. But now things are completely different. And for them to be able to make so many changes in the game and for them to still to play so well and just completely control the game from start to finish, I keep saying it's just it's fantastic. It shows you the quality and depth that we have in our squad now that we can do that. And for me personally, you know that I love to get it right up Falkirk and all their supporters, because there's loads of my friends support them in the area that I live in. So it's always good, especially in their own backyard. But I'll let you get into the game, Derek.
Yes. So in the first minute, Itton crossing the ball from the right, kisses the top of the bar and out for the goal kick. And on the fifth minute, we went 1-0 up with Defoe scoring. It was a long high ball from our half, right to the left side of the box, over the top of the defence. Defoe gets the ball and strikes it into the back of net from a fairly tight angle. Just a great incisive goal, great vision as well to send the ball over. It might have been Goldson, I can't quite remember. But Defoe, once again, getting a start and he scores a goal.
Yep, I really think we took Falkirk by surprise so early on in the game, Derek. Maybe the goalkeeper could have done better, I don't know, but I'll put it down to just the power and the accuracy from Defoe. Just a fantastic finish from him, the control, get it down, that sort of first time shot low underneath the goalkeeper, just supreme striking from him in just an excellent way to start the game off and put us in the front foot. Excellent.
Yep. 15th minute, Bassey flicked the ball up into the box, headed away by the defender, but only to Defoe at the edge of the box, who had a switch of feet and a lovely volley just wide of the post. 25th minute, Barker off, Kamara on. Barker picked up a knock. I said in the post-match as well, Barker's becoming very unlucky with injuries. Yeah. Is he another one of these players that his body can't take the rigours of the modern game? It's starting to become, it's not, obviously no fault of him, he's trying his hardest when he's on, he's playing fairly well, he's just not getting the rub of the green when it comes to injuries, is he?
No, it's this is certain times he comes on, Derek, as a wee run and we think, we've got a player there, we've got somebody that can come on. I don't think any of us would ever see him as a starter in the team at the moment, but certainly a great option to come off the bench, as he was causing problems. But as you say, it's starting to be one of these sort of stop-start things where I'm into it. He'll play for a while and then, as you say, he'll get injured and, he's back out the team and then they have to bring him back in. For a player like him, he needs a bit of consistency and just unfortunate. So, we'll just have to wait and see what happens. But it's certainly a position that we are needing strengthened in my opinion. And he's a great guy to have. It's just, as you say, it's a pity that this is happening to him.
28th minute, there was a quick move getting the ball to the right into the box. Tavernier with a powerful shot and a great save from the keeper to put it out for the corner. And from the resulting corner, on the 29th minute, we went 2-0 up with Bassey scoring. The corner came in, Itton with a great header, right at the keeper who makes a good save, but spills right into the path of Bassey, who puts it into the back of the net. And I think that's his first goal for the club as well.
Yeah, I actually think it's possibly his first professional goal, Derek.
Might be.
I'm sure I heard someone saying that it was his first professional goal. So, no, great stuff. We've been really impressed with him. When he's came in, he's a big, strong guy. He's got a great touch. He looks like he's going to have a fantastic future with us, and just brilliant for him to be able to seize a goal, especially, live. I'm sure his friends and family have been watching him as well, and really good for him. And, his confidence would have been sky high after that. Really pleased for the guy.
Yep, absolutely. 30th minute was good play going forward with Hadji running towards goal. Looks up at the edge of the box, feeds it to Itton on the right, who blasts it over the bar. 35th minute, good move down the left. Barisic crosses in, knocked to Itton into the box, who has a weak header right at the keeper. And in the 41st minute, we sealed the game, basically, with a goal from Barisic. A free kick from about 20 yards out on the right-hand side, up and over the wall, into the top left corner. A bit of a trademark, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely perfect, Derek. Wasn't it right into that top corner? Superb. We know that's what the guy can bring to us as well. Not only is a fantastic passer of the ball and his vision, but we know he puts an incredible crosses in for the left hand side. But that's another thing that he can produce for us as well. And he just it's a sweet strike, wasn't it? Right over. Absolutely perfect. Goalkeeper had no chance, and as you say, that was the game over at that stage, and that was, a great position to be in going into half time.
Yep, absolutely fantastic goal. So that led us into half-time. So game over, what we expected. I would have liked to have seen all five substitutes on at that time, to be honest. Just, you know, kind of wrap them in cotton wool. But certainly can't be disappointed with the first half.
Definitely not. No, as we said before, straightforward, professional. The goals are all scored at the perfect time, and it just left the second half a formality for us, which was, you know, a great position to be in.
Yep. So into the second half on the 46th minute, it was a short pass back from Bassey to McLaughlin. Connor Salmon runs in, nearly kicks the ball, but fortunately cleared by the keeper. 49th minute, ball given away by Kamara near our box, allows the Falkirk player to get a shot off. Decent effort, but right at McLaughlin. And then, if it wasn't over before, it certainly was now. Tavernier gets a goal on the 49th minute to make it 4-0. Right up the park after that last Falkirk move, initially cleared but right back to us. Barisic on the left puts in a superb cross right to the back post to find Tavernier on the volley and into the back of net. An absolute stunning finish from Tavernier. Open play, so you can't have an argument about him scoring another penalty. Tavernier is, we'll get into it later obviously, but he's on fire, isn't he?
He really is, Derek, and I know that we've had our jokes and stuff like that with Craig that comes onto the pod as well, who's a, you know, a big fan of Tab, but we've kept saying it, his form this season has been absolutely sensational. The goal itself though, Derek, there's not many times that you see one fullback crossing and supplying for the other fullback to score a goal. It was absolutely fantastic. The ball in for Barisic was tremendous. It was as perfect, inch perfect a ball as you can get for Tav running in. I don't know if this is something that's been getting practiced, you know, especially with the form that Tav's on for scoring goals, but the ball in was, you know, absolutely brilliant, and the volley, inch perfect by Tav. You know, as I say, it's supreme confidence with the guy, the new. It's just great to see, and, you know, I honestly can't think in any time I've seen that one fullback crossing into the box for the other fullback to score, especially a goal like that. It was just tremendous, Derek. Absolutely fantastic.
How many times do you see a fullback hitting a volley to score a goal? It's no often either. So, but on the 54th minute, Barisic and Arfield off, Middleton and 18-year-old Kieran Dixon on, Dixon getting his debut as well. 56th minute, Dixon with a shot just wide. 70th minute, Zungu and Tavernier off, Stewart and 16-year-old Leon King getting on his debut as well. 73rd minute, shot by Falkirk in the box but wide, and the 78th minute, a scramble in the box in the 6-yard line. Keeper makes a couple of easy blocks, and Itton couldn't get a proper shot off, and that was really the last piece of major play in the game. But all in all, a great performance all round. Didn't really need to get out of second gear. 4-0, cool as you like, and it was good to see that two youngsters getting their debuts as well, and shown very well in the game as well when they came on. And it just shows you to other youngsters like the Kai Kennedys, who we allegedly had an issue with earlier on, there is a pathway if you knuckle down and you try your hardest, and you will get there eventually.
I think Stephen Gerrard said that, Derek, you know, it takes a lot to do with the youth players that are there, and he said that he's been impressed with a lot of these guys. So, you know, two very highly thought of youngsters coming in. And, you know, a great time for them to come in. There was no pressure. The game was won. You know, it would have just been a matter of, right, lads, on you go, enjoy yourselves. And, you know, it's just, as I say, for us to bring on guys like that, it's only good for the club. And as you say, Derek, if you're good enough, you're going to get your chance. So, no, absolutely brilliant. And, you know, the whole performance, like we said, it was just that we went about it very professionally, very clinically, and some absolutely tremendous goals as well.
Yep. So next game, Thursday the 3rd of December, at home to Standard Liège in the Europa League Group D Game 5, where we won 3-2. Seven changes from the Falkirk game, as we expected as well. I think it was the same team that started the Benfica game a couple of weeks before as well. Liège had to win the game to keep their hopes alive, so ultimately they had to go for it, which I think played against us. A lot of folks saying it might have been a bit of a dead rubber game if we just knuckled down, but, you know, they had to go for it, so they duly did, and they were, I would say, quite unlucky, and we just showed the resolve in the end. However, we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Balogun, Barisic, Arfield, Davis, Kamara, Roof, Ken and Morelis. On the subs bench were McLaughlin, Bassey, Hadji, Itton, Zungu, Patterson, Aribo, Barker, Stewart, Barjonas, Dixon and King as well. So good to see that's a wee bit of European experience. Granted, they never got on, but Dixon and King again on the subs bench.
Just look at the team, Derek, and look at the substitute bench, and that is still with Ryan Jack not being there and Philip Hillander not being there. That is a excellent bench for us to have all experienced quality players in there. I keep saying it, the strength and depth of the squad just now is just absolutely fantastic. And going with the team that you put out, I think you'll agree with me, it's probably the preferred team that we have, our strongest 11, in my opinion anyway. But as I say, to have these players on the bench that can come on as well is just, you know, fantastic. So I was feeling supremely confident, Derek, but as you say, Standard Liège came out and, you know, proved that they weren't going to be any pushovers, and we were in a game right from the beginning, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a mental first half. From our point of view, we were quite poor, I felt. We were very slow, lethargic, never got going until around the 30th minute. A lot of that was down to the way Liège were playing, though. They played a high line, they played a high tempo, never gave us any time in the ball. As a result, we had a lot of wayward passing, poor and timid defending, tied in with some decent crosses from their point of view as well. Liège were doing what they had to do, and you couldn't take that away from them. That's the thing, as much as we beat them in the first game 2-0, you had to respect the fact that they're still a European squad, and they have got quality. And maybe myself, I was maybe one of them. There was a lot of complacency, I felt. I think with these last two games we had, we felt, oh, we beat them before in this group stage fairly convincingly. It's going to be a walkover. But no, that's was never going to be the case. And none more so in the 6th minute where we lost the goal because Liège went 1-0 up. It was a long ball from the centre to the left side, controlled one-touch pass. They got the ball down the left. The cross came in. The attacker gets in front of Goldson, who was caught flat-footed, and a tap-in for a volley. A very, very simple and disappointing goal to lose. I think that's what's more of the point.
I think just going by the way the defence has played, Derek, and how, you know, rock solid that they've been the vast majority of the games, I think we were just more surprised than anything as to how easy, you know, their goal came about. It was poor marking, I think, anyway, and, you know, a simple finish by their player. And straight away we were like, shit, we're really in a game here now. Because, as you say, Derek, were they maybe a bit complacent? We'd already beat them away from home and all we needed was a victory for us to go through. Maybe thought it was a bit of a foregone conclusion, but thankfully we were able to get back into it quite quickly after that.
I mean, ultimately, there was not much happened in the game for the first real half an hour apart from the goal. They had a lot of possession. As I said, they were pegging us back and we were passing. We never really got going at all. 29th minute, good movement, ending in Barisic crossing from the left, doesn't fall in time, hits off the thigh of Tavernier on the right, cleared, but eventually worked to Kent on the left, who cuts inside and there's a shot well wide. 31st minute, good play and link up with Arfield, flicking the ball onto Morelos, who turns and shoots on the edge of the box, an easy dive and save for the keeper, but at least it was a good bit of play and a shot on target. And we seem to maybe gain something from that because we started to get in the ascendancy from that part.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
And then we got our just desserts for that because on the 38th minute, we drew level with Goldson scoring. A lovely corner by Barisic from the left, right to the far edge of the 6-yard box. Goldson towers above everyone and headers back across goal and into the back of the net. As I said, I've been coming since about the 30th minute. You will probably not see a better header in the Europa League this year.
It was an absolute peach, wasn't it? As you say, an excellent delivery in from Barisic. And you know that incredible header as well, and just great for us to be back on level pegging at that point, Derek, because you say we hadn't played particularly well, and you know this was getting us right back into the game, and you know that had put the confidence right back up with the players because they would have known that they weren't playing that great. But for us to draw level like that as well, you know, especially before half time, it's just an excellent time for us to get the goal, so absolutely delighted.
And 2 minutes later, it was all undone. Because in the 40th minute, Liège retained their goal advantage by making it 2-1. It was a quick free kick from the centre to the right. First time cross, bounces off the ground in front of the defender, right to the back post for the Liège player to knock it into the back of the net. In the process, he rattled the post full pelt with his balls.
That was a sore one. Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was an absolute. But again, that's you know, the type of commitment that you're looking for in your strikers, isn't it? But again, I kind of thought it was a poor goal, Derek. It was a pretty similar move to the first goal. And again, this very sort of slack marking coming in at the back post. I'm very surprised that we got caught like that again, and really disappointed because I thought, you know, just exactly what you said, all the hard work completely undone and a few minutes later by another goal that I think that we could have avoided quite easily.
Yeah, and it was just, I mean, granted, it was a fantastic cross and it was good vision, but there was a bit of fortune in it as well, and there was poor defending as well, and just disappointing all round. However, 4 minutes later, on the 44th minute, a penalty to us. The three words you like to see. Like
exactly. To say. The greatest three words in the English dictionary. Penalty to Rangers.
A lot of possession ending on a lofted ball played into the box to find Kamara. A lovely backheel flick by Kamara to Roof, who hits a shot. It was deflected wide by the hand of the defender. It took a while to be given. I never noticed it at first, but it was quite clear when you seen it back. Yeah. It was the player was kind of diving into it. An outstretched hand, and it hit off his hand. As I think it was McCoist said, if I was the defender, I'd be raging about that, because it is the natural position where your hand would be when you're making that sort of lunge. However, modern day rules is if it's an outstretched and it's technically not a natural position for your arm to be, then it's the rules of the game. So I'm, as he said, absolutely over the moon we got that.
Yeah, but and at the same time, Derek, are you trying to say that if McCoist had been playing for Rangers up front, that he wouldn't have been claiming that it was a penalty as well, you know? So yeah. It's, you know, it's 50-50 there. But as you say, the laws of the game now are, you know, that it was, and you know, the way that the position of his arm and his class is a penalty. So that's what it was. That's what we are. We can't live by previous laws if that's what it is now. So no, I really wasn't caring. It was a chance for us to get back in on level terms for half time. So, you know, great, absolutely brilliant.
And up steps Mr. Penalty Fantastic, as we dubbed him the last episode. On the 45th minute, we drew level at 2 each. Tavernier converts the penalty high into the back of the net, down the middle. Great penalty. And absolutely delighted to be going in at 2-2, considering we've played not very well for most of the half.
Exactly, and again, two goals, like we said, that we were disappointed to concede, Derek. So just great that we could right the wrongs in the second half and go in all square at half time. Gives us something to build on in the second half. You know, the game's a completely different outlook for us if we are behind and trying to draw level, you know, in the second half. So going out in the second half, going for the victory rather than the draw, was crucial for us at that stage. So a brilliant time to get the goal.
Yep, absolutely. So, half-time, delighted to go in to each, and obviously looking for improvement. 46th minute, corner in from the left by Lage. McGregor came out and completely mistimed it, hit off the attacker and out to the back post, controlled with his hands and over the byline before getting played back in. Fortunately, the whistle went as McGregor was still flapping about at that point. So, McGregor is amazing as he is, he's got these, you know, this temperament sometimes to come for balls when he shouldn't, and I think this was one of them we potentially got away with one there, because he was all at sea there.
It was uncharacteristic by him, Derek, maybe a lapse in concentration, I don't know, but as you say, just glad that we, you know, we managed to deal with it in the end, and it got away. So it was a bit of a scare early on.
In the 50th minute to the 58th minute, my stream went down. I only could get back a foreign stream. However, on the 62nd minute, we went 3-2 up with Arfield scoring. It was a good move, working the ball down the left. Kamara slides a lovely ball into the box for Kent, who got the ball on the left. A lovely cutback right through the defence for Arfield to strike it in the bottom right corner. A fantastic goal. What a vision by Kent as well, especially where he was, because he was near the byline to cut it all the way back through the box to Arfield, who just had the vision. I think it was a first time strike right into the bottom corner. Fantastic.
Great goal, and a guy again fully confidence at the moment, Scott Arfield, isn't he? A tremendous goal by Arfield, it really was. The whole move, as you say, just excellent play, and then the final cut, you know, ball cut back from Kent, tremendous. But the finish itself by Arfield, first time shot, so accurate right into that bottom corner. You couldn't have got a more accurate finish than that. absolutely supreme and delighted for Arfield. I put a tweet out at that, you know, after that, just to say how delighted I was for him. He's a guy who gives us 100% every time he's out there, Derek, and it's just great that, you know, his hard work is paying off for him just now, because he's in the team, and rightly so, and just a great goal and a great move. And, you know, finally, for the first time, we were ahead and in the game. And, you know, just absolutely delighted. It's the grit and determination by the team as well, Derek. That was a huge thing for us as well, because we haven't been put under a lot of pressure like that, have we? We've came from behind to win games. I don't know if it has happened, actually, if I think back. So for us to come from behind against, you know, a very good European team is just, you know, it's just the character says more of anything else. I know that it wasn't a classic game for us. I know that we didn't play outstanding and control the game, but just that mentality to be able to fight back like that, it's great to see, Derek. Absolutely brilliant.
Yep, absolutely. We'll get into that at the end of the game, but the unsung hero of that goal was Kamara for me. The vision to it was a reverse pass all the way through the defence to find Kent. I mean, this guy, £50,000 from Dundee.
Exactly, yep.
And he's playing exceptional football in Europe. You know, that there is a reason why it was rumoured that the likes of Juventus were sniffing about him in the summer there. Just fantastic he's been this season.
As I say, the team that he put out at this moment in time is arguably our top team, our strongest team, and, you know, he is a central part of it. He's, as you say, his vision, his, you know, way of being able to take pressure off the defence when he gets on the ball, rarely wastes a ball. He's always available, always in space. And another thing that I've been noticing about him, Derek, recently, is he's now starting to carry the ball forward. He wasn't doing a lot of that last season, in his first season, but it's maybe something that Steven Gerrard's been working on with him. He's been going forward with the ball, and you know, it's paying off, as you say. Just you know, absolutely fantastic. Really pleased for him as well. That's been the, you know, the buy of the century for us so far, hasn't it?
And he's even got the time to guest appearance on Nationwide's customer service as well. So, I mean, what a guy!
I know. I mean, Jack, he's been out, Derek, injured, so we can see how he's got the time. But the fact that Kamara's been playing as well, it's, you know, shows he's an intelligent guy as well to be able to do that. So,
yep. 69th minute, good break ending, and Kamara feeding the ball to Morelos in the box. The keeper comes charging out and manages to get the ball before Morelos. Needed a slightly better pass from Kamara there. I think he just played it too far to the left, or too far to the centre of the box rather, and Morelos couldn't quite sneak in there. 71st minute, free kick from 20 yards from goal on the edge of the box on the right by Tavernier, up and over the wall, forcing the keeper into a good diving save. 77th minute, Arfield tries a curling shot from 20 yards after a good build-up play, but well wide. 78th minute, Morelos off, Aribo on. 79th minute, a stunning 25-yard free kick from Barisic was sailing into the post of stamp. However, the keeper makes a great diving save to put it onto the bar. It spins up. Roof was in the mix. It comes off his head, but it couldn't direct it goal-bound as it was too close to the byline and the post. 81st minute, corner from the left by Barisic, right into the centre of the box. Goldson, who was under pressure, manages to get a great header goal-bound and an equally great save to put it out for the corner. 84th minute, break up the park, found Roof in acres of space, ran about 20 yards with the ball, nobody around him, had time to think, hits a shot right at the keeper.
No.
I think he suffered from a bit of the Kenny Miller there. If he had looked up and squared it. He had Kent supporting him there as well. Yep. Just really disappointing, but, you know, one of these things. 85th minute, Arfield off, Zungu on, and in the 88th minute, Barisic and Roof off, Bassi and Itnon, and that's how the game ended up. As you said earlier, what resilience, what character for that squad, especially in the second half, to come out and play the way we did, to come back, as you said, I think for the first time this season, potentially, in Europe against a great opposition. And that's what champions are made of. I know this is Europe. We're not saying we're going to win the Europa League.
Of course we are. You have little faith.
But that was a marker for the squad, because, as we said there, it's the first time, I think, we've done that. We've had to do that this season, and we passed with flying colours.
Yeah.
And it was ultimately their keeper that kept it respectable at the end of the day.
it was the second half was completely different from the first half, Derek. The second half was more of what we have been used to with our team recently. It was the second half, I felt we, you know, completely controlled it. We had all the chances. And like I said, that's why the penalty right at the end of the first half was crucial for us, because, you know, we were going out to win the game in the second half rather than to draw a level and then try and score, so that it came at a crucial time. But it's great to see, because it's not saying that we're wanting all of our games to be like that. We would rather that they were all plain sailing and, you know, we were winning. But as I say, it gives us that wee, you know, bit of confidence. And, you know, if we fall into a situation like that again, which I hope we don't, it's like I said, I hope it's all routine victories, but it lets us know that we can come back against a top, top team and still win the game. So, no, absolutely delighted. I think Steven Gerrard at the end of the game said exactly the same thing. He knew that it wasn't a, you know, a classic performance, but he was just absolutely delighted with the way the players responded and the belief in the team. It's just brilliant. And again, just another excellent European campaign, Derek. Hey, we've not been used to European campaigns like this, not for a long time. And it's one thing that Steven Gerrard has brought even over the last two seasons, is some absolutely brilliant nights in Europe. And that was another one to add to the list. Just absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. And I think we've kind of buried the lead as well, because that victory meant we had qualified for the next round as well, yeah, on game five.
Exactly.
That's unheard of.
I know. Yeah,
that's unheard of. I mean, this next game coming up against Poznan is effectively a dead rubber, which we'll get into. But Dave, this is the best I've seen Rangers in Europe. I know we had a great run in 2008. I know 1992-93 season was incredible. But the football we are playing, teamed with the results, teamed with the character that the team are showing, this is just incredible. This beats, for me, anything that we have seen McLeish do by getting us into the knockout stages of the Champions League. This beats anything, any of the performances we've seen from Advoca in Europe. This is just incredible just now, I think.
I think the difference, Derek, is that we don't seem to be defending for our lives and getting a lucky, like, away goal, or, you know, going for the, because I think under Walter it was all to do with not conceding a goal at home, wasn't it? That was the plan under Walter in these games, is didn't he concede at home and then away from home try and get an away goal, and usually it would get us through. Whereas now, we, it doesn't matter if we're home or away, Derek, we know that we're going to make chances in a game, aren't we? And the way that the defence is playing now, we have confidence in our defence that they are going to be able to cope, you know, in big games. That's why it was very uncharacteristic in that last game of the defence that we let in those two goals, which I thought we could have defended better. The way the defence has been playing, we would have expected them, you know, not to be conceding goals like that. But at the end of the day, it didn't matter. We managed to get the resolve to get back into the game and then win it. So it's certainly, over the last 20 years, you know, barring getting to the final under Walter Smith the second time that he was here, it was more to do with grit, determination and hard work, whereas this time, it's the flair, Derek, it's the control in the game, it's the, you know, believing that we were going to win the game regardless what leg it is. And I think that's the big difference, Derek. We have got supreme confidence, that the players have got supreme confidence in each other, that they're going to go out and they're going to win these games. And that's what we've been missing, isn't it? And it's just right now, I think every Rangers fan out there can look at the team and say these players are so focused and so confident in each other, and that's the reason that we're playing so well. I firmly believe that, and it's really, really great to see, considering where we've been in the last sort of 9 years. It's been a long time coming, but to come like this and for us to watch us play the way we are at the moment, it's just a joy. It's great. I never want it to end, Derek.
And I'm going to say something here, and I don't care if folk disagree or not, because I honestly couldn't care if Celtic win the league this year if we won the Europa League. I know that's kind of pie in the sky stuff when you think about it, but the Europa League would mean so much more.
Yeah, definitely.
Because it's on a European stage, it's on a world stage ultimately.
100%, Derek. I would not give two shits about anything to do in Scotland. I know there's a lot of Rangers fans out there are stopping them getting ten in a row. Their nine in a row is a phony. Nine in a row, Derek. It really doesn't matter. We focus on us, and if I had to get my choice exactly like you, it would be the Europa League, and I'm sure a vast majority of Rangers fans out there would agree as well. It's highly unlikely because the teams that are in there, Derek, but let's just ride the wave just now, ride the crest of the wave. We're playing some brilliant stuff, and we go into this next game against Poznan. I want us to go out and be top of that group because that's fantastic. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh, it doesn't matter. And, you know, if we get beat, so what? We need to concentrate on the league as well. But I don't think that the players or the manager will see it like that. I'll think that they'll want to go out and win that group, Derek. And that's what I'm hoping personally that they do. But at the same time, we do have enough talent on the bench, you know, to go and get a result there. But I've got a feeling he'll go with strongest team again.
Quite possibly, yeah. We'll just need to wait and see. So the next game we've got to cover was Sunday the 6th of December. It was a 4-0 win away against Ross County in the Premiership. Two changes from the standard Liège game. We lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Balogun, Bassey, Aribo, Davis, Kamara, Roof, Kent and Morelos. On the subs bench, member McLaughlin, Hadji, Defoe, Itten, Zungu, Barker, Patterson, Arfield and Barisic. Strangely, 300 Ross County fans were allowed in, yep. So a bit of a difference for us this season in the Premiership. However, made no difference whatsoever because you never heard them, did you?
No.
Really, it was first half we were kind of expecting. We were in full control, very stuffy in the final third. Ross County trying to hit in the break. They were slightly dangerous without McGregor actually having to do anything that was mopped up by our defence. They were obviously buoyed by the result they got the weekend before against Celtic by beating them, which we'll get into as well. So they were always going to be that potentially dangerous squad. 25th minute, Ross County on the left at the halfway line, long ball switched to the right hand side on the edge of the box, good first touch, cuts inside and gets the shot off and forces a great save from McGregor. And I was like, for fuck's sake, Rangers, at this point, because I was like, that is the first proper chance that they've had, and they forced a great save from McGregor. That was typical us. That seemed to wake us up though, didn't it?
It did, Derek. It's quite incredible that we, as a supporter collectively, we are shitting ourselves playing in the league in Scotland, but when we play in Europe, we are so confident and so, let's go for it, doesn't matter, whereas in Scotland, we're all sitting, biting our fingernails, hoping that there's not going to be some sort of upset. And really, if you look at it, Derek, we're miles ahead of any of these teams that we're playing. I know it's, you know, when you know in hindsight that you look at the end of the game and, you know, we've seen the score, but we really do, these things absolutely shit ourselves, don't we? And it's like that one chance that Ross County had, everybody was going mental, you know, especially on social media, we were all worried. And really, I think everybody needs to sort of calm down, and, you know, because I think we all knew if we were to get an opening goal, the floodgates were open, because the way that Ross County were playing, they were there. They were hoping they were going to get a draw or maybe, you know, have one goal so they could just defend for the rest of the game. But this isn't Rangers of the last few seasons, thankfully. I just had to keep reminding myself that at that stage, because I was getting carried away as well, Derek, and you really have to stop, don't you, and have a wee think. So I think we're all need to take a wee chill pill when wee things like that happen, mate.
Absolutely, yeah. As I said, that woke us up, because 2 minutes later, we scored our first goal with Roof scoring. A lovely move and build-up with Kent playing a lovely outside-footed ball to Morelos, who holds the ball up with his back to goal, passes back to Davis, who feeds a lovely first-touch ball through to Tavernier on the right-hand side, who has a great cross on the deck to Roof, who slides it in and past the keeper into the back of net. The determination from Roof as well to actually get the ball was brilliant. He was always the one that was going to get that ball first.
it was a great move, Derek, and a great sort of poacher's instinct there by Roof. Really, really good, as you say, the ball out to Tavernier, and then the awareness of Tav to put it in. And it was into a dangerous area, Derek, just exactly what you said, but with the defenders and the goalkeepers all going for that ball at the same time, for Roof to be able to get in there and guide that sort of cross past the goalkeeper was, you know, supreme finishing. Really, really impressed by that. A true poacher's goal. And again, they just seem to know, you know, all the Rangers players just now seem to know what's coming. They seem to be in the right positions, you know. And again, Tavernier going forward again, Derek, absolutely sensational. And as you say, the wee chance that Ross County had just before that, you know, really woke us up, gave us a kick up the bum, and just a great response by us to score the opening goal.
Yep, absolutely. 29th minute, Roof with a shot just over the bar from the edge of the box. 33rd minute, Davis tries to lob the keeper from just outside the box, but mishitting easily into the keeper's arms. 36th minute, ball clearly off the head of the Ross County player, out for what should have been a corner, a goal kick given.
Yes, and it was as clear and blatant as you can possibly see. You know what I mean? I don't know what the hell the referee or the linesman or anything, how they could not see that, but completely baffling.
Yep. And then the controversial moment of the game was in the 44th minute, an absolute shocker of a lunge on Morelos. Yep. I don't know who was given the yellow card here, because it seems to be lost in the translation of what's happened as well. But I think it was Vigers who seemed to lose the ball from Morelos, and then the ball played on further forward. Vigers turned and he just lunged right at Morelos, right with his studs showing. And it looks as if he had lost the ball and he went for Morelos there with intent. A yellow card was given in that. I don't know if it was for the challenge or for what happened, because in the stramash, our bench and some of our players were absolutely incensed. Something was apparently said. It was unclear what at the time. Gardine apparently was given a yellow card for it. Again, I'm not too sure what the hell's happened. However, it's came out that apparently some sort of homophobic language has been used. Ross County, to their credit, have came out and said, look, we'll need to review it. We'll need to see what's happened. And, you know, if something has been said that's warranted, you know, punishment, then we'll do it. The compliance officer, she's actually woke up for a change, is apparently investigating it as well. Ross County have asked for more time to investigate what's happened. Yeah. So, well, I'm not going to put words into people's mouth or et cetera, but certainly for our bench to go as mad as they did, and especially our players as well, it can only be one of a couple of things that's been said, and we'll just need to wait and see the outcome of that.
Exactly. Going back to the Vigers challenge, Derek, that was clear, as you say, intent. That could have, you know, totally endangered the player. He completely took both legs away from Morelos completely. The swipe was like right, took him right out at that point. And, you know, that was, you know, dangerous tackle, nowhere near the ball. You know, if that's not a red card, again, I don't know what is. I was really incensed by that at that stage, and for it only to be a yellow right in front of the referee as well. But it was John Beaton, of course, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So it was absolutely shocking decision. That was a red all day for me.
Yep. So into the second half, 49th minute, cross in from Kent on the left, right to Roof, who headed it down, bounces off the ground and forces the keeper into a good save. It was knocked back out. Morelos just about to shoot and was blocked and eventually broken up for a free kick to Ross County. However, on the 55th minute, we went 2-0 up with Tavernier scoring. Kent gets the ball on the left on the edge of the box, feeds the ball to Morelos in the centre of the box, who controls it, tries to have a shot, which was blocked and deflected wide to Kent, who plays a first-time cross on the deck to the six-yard box. Roof slides in, seemed to deflect off the Ross County player, then Roof, and then Tavernier into the back of the net. Absolutely fantastic. I think it's his 16th goal of the season already from a right-back.
16th goal. I'm not quite sure he knew what was happening, Derek. It all happened so quickly. It kind of deflected, rolled, and just sort of hit him. But again, for a fullback, Derek, to be inside the penalty area, you know, in a poacher's position, it's just a great part of his game, Derek. The fact that he's getting in to make up another attacker in there if the ball's coming in for the left-hand side. Great awareness and, you know, just fantastic. You know, he go two up and effectively seal the game at that stage. You know, just absolutely brilliant.
Yep. 65th minute, Aribo off, Arfield on. 66th minute, Ross County worked the ball forward down the left, a long ball into the box, took a few bounces, follows the attacker at the back post who puts it over the bar from 6 yards. Bassey maybe put him off with his presence there, but he might have been also at fault, I would have said, as well, for him to kind of drift off him slightly as well. So a bit of a lucky one there.
Yeah.
68th minute, Morelos using his physicality robbed the defender of the ball. He drove it forward, slid the ball to Kent on the left, who crosses into the back post, and Tavernier with a volley wide. It would have been an absolute classic goal there if that had went in. 71st minute, we went 3-0 up with an OG. Goldson with a long ball to the right for Tavernier. Tavernier beats the offside and his man, puts in a good cross on the deck to try and find Morelos in the middle. The defender slides in and puts the ball into the back of net. Another one of these ones, if it had been up the other end of the park, it would have been a fantastic goal.
It was, and Derek, it was, if he didn't get any kind of touch on that, it was a simple tap in for Morelos at the, you know, at the back post. He had got into, you know, that position. We know one on them, so he tried to slide in and clear it. It didn't work for him at all, and ended up in the back of the net. But it was going to be a certain goal regardless. Great move, and you know, a fantastic ball across the face of the goal as well. So it was well deserved, Derek. And as I say, that was it, really truly wrapped up at that stage.
Yeah, I'm a mate, and I said at that point, we need 4 substitutions on now, just give people rest. And Julie came on the 73rd minute. Morelos, Kamara, Ken and Roof off. Defoe, Zungu, Hadji and Itten all came on. 75th minute, a cross comes short from Ross County, hits the bar and back into possession. May have took a slight deflection on that as well, so maybe a wee bit lucky, unlucky there. 80th minute, we had a free kick on the corner of the edge of the box on the right, went for goal, was going into the top left bin, but the keeper pushed it out for a corner. And then on the 90th minute, just at, right at the death, we get our 4th goal with Defoe scoring. Bassey sends a long ball down the left line to Itten, who had drifted across. Itten initially loses out, but shows great tenacity not to give up. Won the ball back. Great cross to Defoe, who was in the middle. Defoe collects the ball, turns and hits a snapshot, and it ended up hitting off the arse of the keeper and in the back of net. That was his 800th appearance as well, Defoe, and capping it off with a goal. Just, I think, if I don't know the exact stats, but somebody's put the stats for the goals to games ratio for Defoe since he's came to Rangers, and it's phenomenal. Considering he's played ultimately what he's been as a bit part, especially this season, but he's scored a phenomenal amount of goals compared with the amount of appearances he's had. Absolutely amazing for a 38-year-old coming into the end of his career, obviously.
Just sheer class, Derek. He's the ultimate professional. You hear everybody speaking to them. We're talking about him in Talk Sport the other day. If you speak to anybody, they just say, you know, he's the ultimate professional. The way that he prepares for games, the way that he, when he's on the training field, he still trains, you know, at a frightening level, you know, when he's out there. And, you know, getting back to the goal, as soon as that ball gets played into him in the box, even with his back to goal, you just knew it was going to be a goal, didn't you? You just knew that he was going to be able to get a quick turn. I mean, the swivel at the hips, it was sort of Michael Moles-esque, wasn't it? Just the way that he'd done it, it was just a turn round in the first time shot instantly. Great finishing by him, as you say. It went in through the goalkeeper, but that's, you know, regardless, it was just a fantastic finish by him, and he's just so deadly. He's, you know, what a great option to have on the bench, Derek. And speak about Itten as well, because he's found it quite tough. But again, battling in there, winning the ball back, and, you know, a great pass into Defoe. So the awareness again for the two of them to know exactly where Defoe was. We can't overlook that either, Derek. Just great play all round, and a great way to cap your 800th game, wasn't it? Quite phenomenal. And as I say, the guy looks still as fit and sharp, so who knows how long it's going to go on, but just a great option for us to have and bring on.
Yeah, I mean, you sometimes have to pinch yourself the fact that we've got Gerrard, but I think sometimes you need to pinch yourself the fact that we've got Jermaine Defoe in the squad.
Exactly.
It's incredible, you know, one of the English Premiership's best ever strikers, and we've got him in our squad. Brilliant. However, that rounded off the game, and, you know, I wouldn't say we had to get out of second gear. We never played particularly well, I don't think. We knew it was going to be quite a stuffy game, especially in the first half. And, you know, we still came out 4-0 winners. If that's not the mark of champions, I do not know what is.
Again, I think we need to take a wee bit of a chill pill. I think we're all terrified, Derek. I think at certain games we're worried in case we're going to slip up, but there's no evidence of that, is there? We're playing supremely well. The talent that we've got on the bench, I keep saying that, that's the big difference for me from over, you know, even from last season. We have got genuine quality in the squad who we can bring off the bench that can change a game, Derek, which we've not had before. And again, that's what it is. And I think all the players are just, you know, concentrating completely on one game at a time, which is what we were hoping and praying for, Derek, wasn't we? We spoke about this maybe about 5-6 weeks ago. We just have to go one game at a time and focus on the next opponent. And I think that's exactly what the team is doing. It's great to see. And it was just another thoroughly professional performance, Derek. That's what we keep saying, isn't it? It all comes down to straightforward, control the game, get the goal scored, get out of there. Another clean sheet, Derek. Another clean sheet. Again, quite incredible. And away with the 3 points. So, you know, absolutely. I keep saying the word delighted, but I'm sure every Rangers fan out there is with the way that we're playing at the moment. And I would also like to say, Derek, that everything that's happening across the city is kind of taking the attention away from us, which I think is maybe a good thing, because we are playing absolutely sensational just now. But just with everything that's happening there, all the focus is on them. And I'm quite happy for that, Derek. I'm quite happy for that, because it keeps the players focused, doesn't it? It doesn't let anybody get carried away with themselves or anything like that. So, no, long may it continue.
Yep. So in the league, we've played 16, won 14, drew 2, lost 0, scored 45, only conceded still 3. Goal difference plus 42, and we're on 44 points.
Conceded 3 goals, Derek. Yeah.
And one of them was offside, and one of them was an OG.
Incredible.
That, yeah. 13 ahead of Celtic with a goal difference of plus 21 over them.
Exactly.
21 more goals than them. Granted, they've got 2 games in hand. I know everybody's saying, look, it's technically only 7 points, but no, it's actually 13 points. We've got the points in the bag. They haven't. Yep. I am gutted that they cannot play the games now in December. However, on their form, there is no guarantee that they're going to win these games, and that is the big thing. Games to come, though, however, on the 10th, Thursday the 10th of December, is away to Lech Poznan, Game 6, Europa League. It's a 17:55 kickoff. As we've kind of alluded to, it is kind of a dead rubber. They can't go through. We've already qualified. However, for pride, for money as well, you know, you get £500,000 for a win.
Exactly.
You get £1 million for topping the group. You get £500,000. So it's £1 million game, effectively.
Exactly.
And obviously you get potentially slightly lesser opposition in the next round. So all to play for still. So it'll be interesting to see what squad we line up with. Yep. Next game, Sunday the 13th of December, away to Dundee United. That's a midday kickoff. Interestingly, their manager, their coaching staff, and 9 players will be self-isolating for that. So what kind of squad they'll put out, yes, it'll be decimated. You know, I know the conspiracy theorists amongst the Ox, they'll be, you know, their tongues are already wagging. However, we can only play what we've came up against. It'll be certainly no less than what the opposition Celtic have came up against in the last 9 years. Interestingly, though, that a lot of it's getting put down to a team photo that Dundee United stupidly had.
Yeah.
However, more interestingly, Celtic in the last week also had a team photo as well. So let's see what happens with that with the SPFL.
Aye, it's baffling, Derek, in this at this time that we are. And I realise they'll have commercial obligations, but it's madness. Absolute madness, Derek, for the things like that are happening. You know, it's... you really have to think to yourself, you know, that... It's just with everything that we're going through just now, you think they would just try and make things more straightforward. But for them to be having these photo shoots and things like that as well, it's going to be another risk. I know that they would have been saying, oh, that they're in the bubble. But as you say, if they've got 9 players who are out, all those 9 players would have been in the team photo with everybody else that's going to be playing. It's just it's strange how they can turn around and say that it's only 9 players that are going to be out. It's very, very puzzling. The whole Celtic thing, I just, everything about them at the moment is a farce, Derek. And, you know, so that really doesn't surprise me at all. No. But again, going back to, you know, the game, I want us to go out and annihilate Dundee United. We should not need any encouragement, you know, after everything that's happened to us. You know, it should be drummed into their players' heads, because the fans certainly aren't going to forget everything that's happened to them over the past few seasons, especially when we were rock bottom. They were one of the main teams that wanted to put the boot in. So I want us to go out there and absolutely annihilate them, Derek. I want them to be 100% focused. I don't want the thought of them having half a team to be in our players' minds, that they might go and sort of not be as clinical as they usually are and thinking that it's going to be, you know, a straightforward. I want them to go and annihilate them. But again, it all comes down to, you know, it's the need to try and be as professional as possible. But as I say, that's just one team that I just want us to wipe the floor with. It. I really do. But we'll wait and see what happens. On paper, Derek, it looks like it should be another straightforward victory for us, especially with everything that's happening. So, again, fingers crossed that it is, and, you know, we can score quite a few goals against them.
10-0 or Gerrard's out. Wednesday, the 16th of December, is the next game after that, away to St Mirren in the League Cup quarter-final. That's an 8 p.m. kickoff, so that's obviously who we got drawn against after the Falkirk game. And then the next game after that, Saturday the 19th of December, at home to Motherwell in the Premiership. That's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Saturday 3 o'clock kickoff. Who'd have thunk
it? Exactly. I know.
A few other games in December for after that, but we'll get into them probably in the next podcast, because we've got quite a few games as well. So the next thing we need to worry about, obviously, is on the draw for the Europa League, which is going to be on the 14th of December. That's for the last 32. And the games will be played on the 18th and the 25th of February. So back-to-back weeks, big games obviously coming up there. I don't know what the Premiership fixtures look like at that point, but we just need to keep rolling on, you know, Thursday, Sunday, that's what we've got to play for. You know, the players seem to be thriving under it.
Exactly.
So, I know this is a Rangers podcast, but I think it's pertinent to mention the Celtic meltdown that's happening just now, to be honest, because it's joyous, isn't it? It really is joyous. And the best of it is, we haven't even won anything yet, and the league is far from over, and they are going absolute apeshit.
We keep saying that we find it incredible, Derek, but we know how much this is affecting their fans. You know, the thought of us being back on top is absolutely, it lives with them. It is a fear that they have deep down inside them. It's been years and years of us completely dominating them. And although that they go on about the last 9 years, when they've not had any competition, Derek, and they're trying to kid themselves that they have been ruling supreme and everything that happened to them, they genuinely thought, Derek, that we were dead and buried and we would never get back to this stage. They stupidly thought that. And us, as a support, as a loyal support, have stuck with your team through the worst. There's no other team in the world has went through what we've went through, Derek. None whatsoever. And I feel quite passionately about that. Everything that's happened to us over the 9 years, and we have still stuck with the team. We've still backed them to the hilt. We've still followed them home and away. And not once have we had a fucking riot, Derek. Not once, considering all the shit that we've went through, all the shysters that have been out there fleecing money for the club, dodgy takeovers, you know, everything that's happened. Not once have we done what they have done by losing two games and drawing a game, Derek. Quite incredible. The mentality of them, the sense of entitlement that they have makes me absolutely sick. And they're just, it's just incredible. A lot of people are finding it hilarious, and some of give credit to a lot of the Rangers fans out there who really are going to town on social media. Absolutely brilliant. But they are really the laughing stock, and their fans are making it as if the team weren't bad enough. The supporters are making it even worse for them, and they are turning them into a complete farce, Derek. And everything that happened the other night with a riot and trying to attack police officers and trying to attack their team bus and everything like that, for the fact that they have won 9 titles in a row, or given the last title, and they've, you know, won all these cups, all these trophies, for them to have all that just in the past few years, and for them to act like that, it's honestly quite incredible. I've never seen it. And going back to what Dave King said, his quote, that they would fall like a deck of cards, Derek, at the first sign of adversity. That's exactly what's happening, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the thing. When we were going for 10 in a row, it was a massively important for us. However, you know, we had Negri shagging Perini's wife. He went off the boil.
Allegedly.
Walter Smith announcing, basically it was announced that Walter Smith was leaving midway through the season. You know, we never acted like that, even though it was a hugely important season to us. It's just the mentality of these animals, that's all they are. I mean, there was growing discontent before the Ross County Cup loss, and they were scraping by. They were effectively papering over the cracks by getting results. They were playing absolutely shite. They were getting draws. They were getting, you know, wins at the last minute because, you know, my dad says, and he's quite correct about this, the five substitutes this year has helped them massively because they've managed to bring on the likes of Griffiths and sometimes Brown when he's not been starting as their fourth and fifth sub, and it's actually changed the game between them two because they've not actually had to do a lot. They've had fresh legs and they've not been worn out. So the growing discontent was there before the Ross County game, and that boiled over after hundreds of them attending the Gyro Dome. Barriers and missiles thrown, even though it looked like a mini shark in one of the pictures. And what is inexcusable is 3 police officers were injured. Yep. in that initial one. There was chance to sack the board. There was chance to sack Neil Lennon. The Goon Brigade had banners outside. Then they went away to AC Milan. They went 2-0 up, and then they were eventually beaten 4-2.
Yep.
They then drawn against St Johnstone after effectively a last-minute winner. More fans attending outside their ground, charging and attacking the team bus as it was leaving. Celtic had to put 2 fences up. They had to put a fence all around the Gyro Dome. There was mounted police, all while we're in Tier 4 lockdown. They shouldn't be there in the first place. And there was 2 arrests at that St Johnstone protest as well. All through this, the Celtic board have issued, I think, 3 statements sticking by them. Yep. The last of which was a lengthy statement sticking by them, claiming they'll be sticking by them till at least the new year. That's going to send them into overdrive, you know, if they get another, you know, draw or loss. As you said, I think it's now coming to roost that the fact that they're entitled, and it's the realisation that their 8.75 titles are built on sand. They're completely unearned. And the fact that they're skint, they keep going on about, you know, believing Ill Phil and all his cronies, that the fact that Rangers are skint, we're going to admin 972. They can't afford to get rid. I mean, they announced I know our financials are not great, but we've got plans in place there, and they're coming to fruition. Celtic have got overdrafts. Celtic don't even own their properties. They can't afford to get rid of the manager. They can't afford to get new management team in. They've got losses due to COVID, as we all have, obviously. And there's 2 things when it comes to the management for me. Is with the way the fans have acted, what manager is going to see that and say, I want to go and, you know, manage Celtic?
Yep.
And also, with the child abuse story going national now, it's no longer a hidden secret. Their court cases are coming next year. What manager is going to want to be associated with that? They have got a major, major issue on their hands just now. And it's fucking glorious because everything that was done to us was, you know, you could say, yeah, part of it was clearly down to David Murray and being so blasé with money and not understanding what could happen. But the recovery from that was all down to, as you said, shysters. Celtic's ineptitude in this is all down to their arrogance, all down to their entitledness, because they just thought they could cheapskate their way through. That's what happened with Ronnie Dyla. That's what happened with reappointing Neil Lennon. They're in a major shit just now, and it's fucking glorious, and I will not apologise for rubbing it in at every single moment I can. Yes, there's still a lot of football to be played. ultimately we could draw our next two games and Celtic are right back in it. That's always a possibility. Form is only as good as your last game, but the way we've got it drummed into us just now, I cannot see us making the same mistakes we made last year.
I just think if we look at simple things, Derek, if we look at the difference in our squad from last year, significant players that have been brought in, our defence for one is different. Balogun and Hellander in there alongside Golson has just been, you know, it's completely changed the team. The team just feel so confident in the back, especially in Scotland. And then going forward, we now have five different options that we can go for up front, and I don't know how many in midfield. And the way that Steven Gerrard has got us playing the high press, and there's not a lot of teams that can live with us, you know, and that's the difference for me. And again, you alluded to it, Celtic are so poor at the moment that even if we did drop points, I honestly can't see them winning every single game that they've got to win to get back, you know, close to us. Again, we're maybe getting too far with ourselves, Derek. I can only go on the evidence that we've seen over the last month or so. But the way that we're playing compared to the way that they're playing, the difference again is last season is that Celtic were scraping victories together, because there was a lot of games that they shouldn't have won last season as well, Derek, let's be honest. But they were getting the 92nd minute winners and stuff like that. That's just not happening for them just now at all. That is, you know, things catching up with them. I'm supremely confident just now. The fact that they've been knocked out of the cup as well now puts us as strong favourites to win the League Cup. So, you know, and we've got a good tie against St Mirren, which on paper, you know, we should be able to get through that pretty comfortably as well. Again, I keep saying it, we should be taking one game at a time, but the whole shenanigans with them this week is incredible. I don't think I've listened to Radio Clyde as much in the last 20 years as I have over the last two weeks. I'm quite disappointed in myself that I've done that, actually, Derek, but to hear their fans, the hysteria with their fans, the, you know, the comments has just been, they're on a completely different insanity level than anybody else that I've ever heard before, Derek. And again, it all comes down to this entitlement. They seem to think that they, you know, that they're entitled to win everything. You know what I mean? And it's like they're so wrapped up, you know, that they honestly can't believe that they're no winning games, and they're no, you know, that this is happening to them. I find it quite incredible. You just have to look at everything that's happening to them off and on the park to know that there's something majorly wrong with them. And no, say it's glorious, Derek. I'm finding a lot of it. I'm getting angry myself with the thought that they still genuinely think that they're this world-class outfit. They should be winning everything. And we are going out and absolutely steamrolling everybody just now and playing so well that, you know, even if they were playing better and winning their games, we would still be ahead of them, Derek. Do you know what I mean? So that's the big difference for me. Long may it continue. I want them to keep going out there and keep fucking up and keep playing shite. And I want us to go out there on the 2nd of January and absolutely fucking annihilate them.
Absolutely, yeah. The last two things I just want to mention about them, because we're turning into one of their podcasts now. But, I mean, we've always said that their first thought when about winning is always about us. I never realised this at the time, but when they won the league to stop our 10 in a row, the Celtic team came out wearing T-shirts saying, yeah, Champion Celtic FC, 10 in a row with the zero scored out.
I didn't always know that either. Aye.
Always a dig against us. It was never about the fact that they won the league. It was always about the fact that they'd done something to stop us. And the second thing here is actually fucking abysmal and shocking if it's genuine, but there's videos tonight of outside the Gyro Dome with more banners being put up by Celtic fans, and one of them says shoot the board. The absolute trash.
Sorry, I know I shouldn't have laughed, Derek, but oh my god, it is insanity at a new level. If these people were to be assessed, you know, psychologically assessed by a professional, he would be locked up. It's quite incredible.
But that's the thing, the connotations of that as well. I mean, quite rightly, the Rangers fans who'd done that with Neil Lennon and you know, sent the bullets, etc., etc., we're not going to get into that because it's been well documented. However, the hypocrisy of Celtic fans on that is just absolutely unashamedly incredible. It really is baffling. And you know, the thing is they've been shouting abuse at Neil Lennon, he's a fucker, etc., etc. You know, why is it sectarian abuse when we do it, yet it's not sectarian abuse when they do it? You know, this is the difference here, and it's they just absolutely fucking, or they actually don't astound me now, because it's just a typical fashion of them.
Going like to think about it, what must the players, their players, think? I mean, what do you think goes through their heads when the bus, you know, when all the fans are, you know, bombarding the bus and chasing them, you know, when they're coming out, the fact that there's got to be a fence put up for their own security, their press conferences are getting cut short, you know, because they're being advised, you know, for their own safety that they need to leave the state. What must be going through their players' minds at that stage, Derek? Do you think it's genuine? Do you think it's we feel really bad that we're no winning here and we've got sympathy for all these fans? Or do you think it is they're all fucking animals that are wanting to fucking do, you know, harm us? What, the mentality must be going, you know, that just goes through to the players. And as you quite rightly said, the foreign players at Celtic, what are they thinking? They're thinking, I'm not wanting to fucking play for this mob. There is absolutely no way when they're doing this to us. So I think their fans are making it worse for their team, and they don't seem to realise that either. And it's, again, for us, long may it continue, Derek, because it's taken that bit away from how well we're playing just now, and I think that that's working in our favour, because they are just, you know, everything that's happening with them is quite incredible. There's something, as you say, there's something new every day. There's no lull, is there? They're doing something spectacularly fucking abysmal every day, the fans or the team or something connected to the club. It's quite incredible. But Dave King had them pegged, didn't he?
I hope he hasn't been pegging them. Yeah, so that was our version of the Heart and Hands Implosion podcast that they've had over the last couple of weeks there. So we better move off now, because we're not going to cover them too much. So we'll now go into the classic match.
And there it is, the final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
Come on then, Derek, have your wee dig. Come on.
What classic match have you got for us this week?
That was not what you were going to say originally. I don't care what you say. Today, Derek, I am covering a classic match where we played against Heart of Midlothian in 1998. The 19th of December, to be exact. Dick Advocaat versus Jim Jeffries back then, back when Hearts had a very, very good team. The Rangers team on that day was Ante Niemi wearing a pair of MC Hammer's jogging bottoms, Stanley Stensash, remember him, Lorenzo Amoruso, Sergio Perini, Tony Vidmar, Barry Ferguson, Andrei Kanchelskis, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, George Alberts, Rod Wallace and Stefan Givarsh on the bench for Rangers, Barry Ferguson, Neil McCann, Brown, Malcolm and Amato. And for Hearts on the day, they had Rousset in goals, Paul Ritchie, Murray, Big Davy McPherson, Davy Weir, Rob McKinnon, Thomas Flogall, the unacceptable face of Scottish football that is Steve Fulton, Gary Locke, Stephen Adam, and man of a thousand clubs, Jim Hamilton, the most journeyman player I think I've ever known in Scottish football. So Hearts with a very strong team, and it was Hearts, Derek, who went for it right from the beginning here. We knew we were going to be in for a really hard game, because Hearts actually took a very early lead on the second minute.
Adam's touch for Flogall. It's Bjorn Amoruso. And is that the opening goal? Yes, it is. Across the line, it's Gary Locke.
Thomas Flogel on the left-hand side, he put in a cross to Gary Locke, who had a glancing header, which was sort of saved, palmed by Antti Niemi, but it went past his hand and he couldn't keep it out, and it went in just off the post for an early lead for Hearts. And, you know, going to a place like Tynecastle, going an early goal behind, it was always incredibly tough. So hard going. Rangers trying to get back into the game. Barry Ferguson gets the ball at the edge of his own box. He plays the ball up to George Alberts just at the halfway line, who keeps running right into the Hearts half. The ball up to Giovanni van Bronckhorst. Back heels the ball back to George Alberts, who hits a thunderous shot, which is saved by Roussein over the bar. So Rangers trying to get back into the game early on. Then another chance here for Hearts. It was a high ball into the Rangers box. Antti Niemi punched the ball away. There was no challenge for anyone to try and clear the ball. It came out to the edge of the box, and Jim Hamilton with a volley, which was again saved by Antti Niemi, out for the corner. So again, Hearts, you know, trying to build on their lead there. And then another chance for Hamilton. Jim Hamilton, just after that, he had a shot for the edge of the box, which was palmed over the bar by Antti Niemi. But thankfully, on the 16th minute, Rangers drew level.
Flipped on by Wallace. And Givash onto Alberts. This is a promising look to it for Rangers. Here's Stensas. And Givash! And that's 1-1. Rousse got a leg to it, but he couldn't keep the shot out. Stefan Givar scores his fourth goal for Rangers. Against the run of play, Hearts have had so much over the first 15 minutes. And when the ball was squared by Stensas, the shot was well hit. It took a deflection on its way through. Rousse was diving in the wrong direction, got his legs to it, but couldn't keep the ball out. It came off Steve Fulton, then Rousse, then into the net.
Amoruso, he clears the ball up to the halfway line. Stefan Givars gets the ball, lays it off to George Alberts, out to Stanley Stensas on the left wing. He hits a low cross into the penalty spot to Stefan Givars, who shoots, and the ball takes a deflection and ends up in the back of the net. A great move by Rangers, a bit fortunate with the goal, but Rangers draw level at that point. And then on the 32 minutes, Andrei Kanchelskis collects the ball on the right wing, a pass from Barry Ferguson, who puts a low cross into the box to Stefan Givars again. Great chance for Rangers to take the lead. Unfortunately, hits it straight at Gilles Rousse, kept the score at 1-1. 38 minutes, at George Alberts receives the ball from a Barry Ferguson throw-in. He sidesteps his man and fires a shot just over the bar. Really unlucky there. Great play by Alberts. And that saw out the first half. So a hard-fought game there. Both teams having the chances to, you know, take the lead, but it remained 1-1 at half-time. Into the second half, first chance for Rangers. Amoruso free kick outside the Rangers box. He hits a long right up to the edge of the Hearts box, from one end of the field to the other. The ball is laid off by Stefan Givars to Rod Wallace, who sees Alberts behind him. He flicks it back to Alberts, who strikes another fantastic shot, which takes a slight deflection, saved by Gilles Rousse, who palms it out and then cleared the Hearts. And then Rangers take the lead on the 58th minute.
Good play from Alberts, releasing Rod Wallace. This could be dangerous for Hearts! It is! Rod Wallace strikes his 16th goal of the season. It went right through Gilles Rousse. And the Rangers fans can celebrate. Their team has gone from 1-1 to 2-1 up. This always looked dangerous. It opened up in front of Wallace. The shot was powerfully hit. But Rousse will be disappointed with himself. And he couldn't keep that out. Goalkeeper horribly exposed here by his defence. And Rod Wallace tends to take his chances.
Rod Wallace, who plays a fantastic 1-2 with George Alberts in midfield. Wallace runs it into the box and strikes a low shot past Gilles Rousse. Fantastic striking there by Rod Wallace. Great play. The 1-1 just took out the two players in midfield, and he basically just kept going. He saw his chance at the near post, fired it past Rousse to go 2-1 ahead. And then on the 68th minute,
it's well played by Alberts. got the ball away from Gary Locke. Now Wallace. Givash. Givash scores. Superb finish, his second of the match. Giurusse thought he'd everything covered there. But his fellow Frenchman Givash had other ideas. Saw the gap between Rousset and the near post, set up by Rod Wallace. Some say Givash doesn't do too much on the pitch, but he can certainly finish, as he's shown again.
Great play by Alberts to steal the ball from Locke. He plays the ball into Wallace, into the Hearts half. He runs at the defence and then flicks the ball to Stefan Givars on the left-hand side of the box, and he shoots low from the edge of the box past Rousset. Again, a fantastic goal for Rangers. That made it 3-1 at that time. Just over 20 minutes remaining on the clock. So absolutely fantastic goal for Rangers to put themselves, you know, in that position. That was when we thought Stefan Givash was going to be a world-class player for us. How wrong were we at that point? But anyway, Hearts unfortunately scored straight away.
Man, we carved open the first goal. And it's Hamilton! Set up again by Fogel. And Jim Hamilton, his ninth goal of the season. And that puts a whole new complexion on the match. Fogel was patient, waiting for the moment. Very similar to the ball he played in for goal number one for Hearts. And the finish from Jim Hamilton was decisive. The instep of the left foot, well timed, and it flew over the top of Antti Niemi.
It was a Fogel cross to Jim Hamilton, who volleys the ball past Antti Niemi. Really poor defending by Rangers. Left him all alone and, you know, just inside the box, and he had time just to thunder. It was a great goal, but really should have defended it much, much better. So at that point, Hearts thinking that they were going to come in, but to be fair to Rangers, we went out and Advocaat had Rangers really just trying to play the possession game, take the sting out of anything that Hearts had. And we really should have added to our goals at that point, because a great chance. Rod Wallace, he races through the midfield, ball out to Neil McCann, who skips past the defender and crosses in and just over the head of Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, who made a late run, just an inch over him. If it had just been before that, it would have been a bullet header into the net. And then Rangers ran out the game with another chance right at the end. Barry Ferguson, he pulls away from midfield. He puts the ball through to Rod Wallace, but he unfortunately hits a weak shot straight at Gilles Rousset. Should have done better there as well. But the game ended up with Rangers winning by 3-2. A great away victory. Some fantastic goals, a great tussle, and excellent entertainment to watch. So Hearts had an excellent team back then, you know, and equally the strength and depth of the squad. Derek, we've maybe not seen the strength and depth of the squad as good as that up until now, all these years later. So a great game to go back and watch. If you get the chance, please do go back and see it, especially the last two goals from Wallace and Givash were excellent.
It went through my legs.
Again, thinking about Stefan Givash's early start with Rangers, we really did think we were going to get an absolute world-class striker there, didn't we? And it just went sour very, very quickly with him, and he turned out to be absolutely dreadful, but never mind.
World Cup winner. I mean, what is it with us signing French players who've got a pedigree of winning titles and trophies, and they just don't play with Rangers? Obviously, Basil Boly being one of them, and Givash being another.
Yeah, I know. It's I'm trying to think of sort of French players, Derek, that really have went on and been really, really good for us. So I suppose you can say that Boumsong was, you know, for his half a season, you know, got us a huge transfer fee because he played well. And has there been any more? Charbonnier was a good goalkeeper for us, I'll give him that. Nothing too, you know, outstanding, but it's French players and Rangers. I think there seems to be more duds. I'm thinking of Jerome Rotan as well. He was an absolutely shocking player for us as well. Another guy that had a huge pedigree playing international football, playing in the Champions League. He comes to us, he's absolutely mince. It's maybe no. There's certain nationalities that seem to do well for us. The Dutch usually always seem to do well for us. The Germans usually do well for us. As I say, I'm trying to think back of any French players that really were quality for us, and I'm racking my brains here, Derek, and no really thinking of one. So maybe I'm missing somebody out. I don't know, but that's that. But no, again, you should go back and watch it. It was a great performance. We always have really good games at Tynecastle. I love watching us playing at Tynecastle. It's a stadium that I always liked going to as well, because we're so close to the pitch. So please go back and watch that if you get the chance.
Absolutely. So Dave will be back with another classic match the next podcast. So we'll go into the news. So a few major pieces of news here, and obviously we'll get into the first one. Tavernier and Gerrard being given the Manager and Player of the Month award for November, duly so, and it would be an absolute travesty if anybody else would have been given it.
Exactly, Derek. There's been no, be fair to Tav, there's been nobody anywhere close to how well he's playing and the amount of goals that he's scored. So completely, 100% deserved. And again, Gerrard, with the way that Rangers are playing and the performances and the victories, there's nobody comes close. So, here.
Yep. Next one is obviously the major one here. It was no surprise that Dave King wanted out. He didn't want in to begin with, to be honest. But it was a surprise when he announced that he has made an offer to Club 1872 to buy shares over the next 3 years. Basically, it looks as if he's going to be selling them at a loss at 20p per share. It'll be £13 million in total. If they can buy within the year, I believe he'll make it slightly cheaper for them. This would be a massive undertaking for anyone to buy £30 million worth of shares. But for a fans group, it's going to be extremely, extremely difficult. Club 1872 have obviously, ramped up their PR stuff, and they're looking for 20,000 fans to sign up for effectively a legacy deal. It works out roughly about £650 for each member, roughly paying about £18 a month. Or they're trying to get people to do sign up for the legacy deal, which is £500 one-off payment, which can be paid up over time as well. Over 1,000 people signed up on day one for it. Laura Fox and Dave King had done an interview on the Four Lads Had a Dream podcast earlier today. Club 1872 will be purchasing shares on an ongoing basis, so there's ultimately not a stockpile of cash. I suggest you go and listen to that podcast. It can go into a wee bit more depth than I'm going to give you here. They did ask Dave King if he'd be putting more cash in and helping out in the future. He did say that you can never tell in the future, but he expects his part in helping out Rangers is now done. You cannot fault Dave King whatsoever. He's lost £20 million under David Murray's regime. He's put more money in when needed. He's ultimately going to hit a loss here. Dave King, I reckon in years to come, there'll be calls for statues to be built for Dave King around Ibrox and that, because the guy is obviously instrumental in what he's done. Yes, he's maybe done things unorthodox, but the whole upshot of Club 1872 deal is that if they can pull it off, it means they'll be the majority shareholder.
Yeah.
They'll surpass the 25% plus one shareholding, which then allows them to veto any board decisions. And ultimately, it allows them to stop anything that might have happened before, like with Green Ashley and Craig White. Yes. It'll never happen again. I have major concerns, however, over the long-term funding of it, and more importantly, the governance of Club 1872. Granted, they've came out and Laura Fox has ultimately said that they understand that they will need to ramp up their operation. Just now, there's, I think, 2, 3, 4 volunteers that are effectively on the board. They're all volunteers, apart from this one paid admin staff. It needs to be a more professional basis ongoing. And that is my major concern, because there's been a lot of sniping back and forward, and a lot of that's, down to a lot of people being jealous and a lot of people being unhappy and a lot of rumours on social media. I mean, I think she's, Laura's put something to bed today in that podcast, that there was a rumour going about that if this pulls off, that they're going to be, you know, her and a couple of other board members are going to be £200,000 richer. Well, she said that's absolutely rubbish. You know, you also get the load of shite attached to the whole thing with Chris Graham and a lot of bullshit about that. I mean, Chris Graham's not, if to my knowledge anyway, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, he's not been attached to the club since his very short spell with the club officially. So I don't know where his name came up again in this. There's a lot of people feeding misinformation. However, my concerns about it going forward is ultimately, right, you could have 20,000 members that sign up for the £500 deal. They get the £13 million eventually or however much it's going to be. But then what? What's the long-term funding goal? Because ultimately the legacy deal is you pay a one-off £500 and then that could be it. You've also got the option to continually put monthly in. However, if you look at the Foundation of Hearts just now, they put in £100,000 a month. Now that came out from the documentary that ran on BBC a couple of weeks ago. It's fantastic. I think it's more than what Club 1872 members put in just now. However, it still only adds up to £1.2 million a year. That is nowhere near enough sustainable for a club our size. Yeah. Maybe for Hearts, but not for us. And I'll always go back to what the Stirling Albion chairman said to us when we were at hospitality, that fans' membership and groups, in the terms of their memberships, don't put nearly enough money into the club. And I can't see how it'll be any different unless you get, say, 100,000 members putting in a minimum of £10 a month in. Club 1872 have also said that they'll look into putting someone on the board. However, it will not be one of their directors or board members. Of note of that, I've no idea just now who's a director, who's not a director of Club 1872 just now, because there's a couple of people resigned a few months ago without any announcement at all as well. So there's a lot of work going forward.
Aye.
Ultimately, it could be a great thing. And certainly in terms of not allowing shysters back on the board that are going to pillage our club. However, I have deep concerns about it going forward in terms of the long-term funding. And that is what we need to be worried about.
The vision and the idea, Derek, of what they are trying to do is excellent. That's, you know, I don't know any fans out there that wouldn't want, you know, a fans group having a major, major say in what goes on at Rangers, especially with everything that happened. As you say, there needs to be a clear plan set out so that every fan out there can say, all right, I completely agree with that. That's what they need to do. That's going to be their biggest issue, I think. There's been a lot of mistrust in various fans groups from other fans groups. There's been a lot of fallouts, hasn't there, over the years. There's been a lot of power struggles within these fan groups as well. It's something that me and you have kind of stayed away from because we know it's been very sort of controversial over the years with everything that's been going on. I do support a fans group having a huge stake in the club. Just as I say, because everything that's happened, I want to know that it is genuine Rangers men and Rangers fans that are in there making big decisions, just to make sure that we never go back to where we were. But like you, Derek, I think they're going to have a huge struggle. I think they're really going to have to ramp up and show everybody exactly what their plans are, how it's going to work out, as you said, how they're going to fund it every single year, just to show everyone exactly what's happening with the club and how that they're going to make it financially sustainable as well. Hell of a lot of work to go, Derek, but you know, we'll wait and see what they come up with, and I'll give you my opinion when that happens, but we'll just have to wait and see now. But there's been a lot of talk, as you say. There's been a lot of things getting said. Half of it will be bullshit. That's what that always happens. But as I say, we'll wait and see what they come out with to see if they can change a lot of people's minds and try and make it a success.
Yeah. I mean, the funding issue, we are now working to being self-sustainable, and I think that is ultimately what Dave King is fully aware that we are just about there. And I think it's the concerns of, or certainly from my point of view, the concerns of, well, what happens if something else happens again? What happens if we're like Celtic, where we become reliant on player sales and Champions League money? Celtic have not had Champions League money for, what, 3 years now? they've also not sold a player this year, which they've relied on to basically backfill the lack of Champions League money. That's the kind of model we need to go for. However, it relies on always getting into the Champions League and or selling a major asset. We do have major assets now. We have now got, for next year at least, two qualification spots in Scotland for the Champions League. All thanks to us, by the way, nothing to do with Celtic whatsoever. However, it's always just a case of we've been burnt so many times, we need to know the contingency plans if we want to get on back on board with this. Laura's kind of quite rightly said, you know, people have said, right, I'm just going to wait and see what happens. Well, you kind of need to join up just now, but at the same time, I'll be quite happy to join up, but you need to give us these contingency plans now. So it's going to be a work in progress. As you said, it is going to be a great thing for the club going forward, with the fact that there's going to be proper fan, it's not so much ownership, it's going to be fans' representation, I would have said. They own 25% plus one, probably actually more by the time it comes to it. As I said, I would suggest you go and listen to the podcast. It doesn't give all the details of what we probably require just now. However, I'm sure they'll be rolling out their stuff, you know, in due course. One thing that I found a wee bit baffling, and because I'd never really seen it on Twitter, and maybe I'm on Twitter fairly regularly, he questioned Dave King several times over an alleged fallout with the board, and it almost became embarrassing, to be honest, because he was asked the same question, you know, about three or four different times, just to clarify, make sure there is absolutely no question. But it turns out that there's no fallout with the board whatsoever. They even asked him to come back during the start of the COVID crisis, and he was like, well, it's a new crisis, I've stepped away now, this is up to you to deal with, which was quite, to be honest, the quite correct thing to do in my opinion. So he's stepping back. We need to live without Dave King. We need to live sustainably. That's the goal we need to be working for. So we'll see what happens in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah.
One of the other things I want to talk about here is, you know, just obviously about fans' disagreements about things surrounding the club. It was compounded again with the fact that the club announced that if you purchase the women's game against Motherwell on RTV at the weekend for a measly £3.50, you would get one MyJers point. Again, led to some fans moaning at the fact that they thought they should be getting this game for free and they should be getting, you know, MyJers points for free, etc. And one person even said that they feel as if they've been blackmailed into getting MyJers points to be able to get a season ticket and to get tickets for away games as well. I think, to be honest, some people are missing the point of the whole MyJers scheme, is the fact that it's a money spinner for the club.
Yeah.
Like any other loyalties or benefit scheme, you need to spend money with the people who are offering it to get something back. It was never a case of, right, sign us up for this and we'll give you a bunch of free shit. It's ultimately your choice if you buy it or not. I know that me right now might be coming across as all high and mighty saying this, but it's not about that at all. I just think some people need a wee bit of reality adjustment. As the SLO told one fan, actually, on Twitter, as I've said before, going to every game, home and away, is absolutely commendable. It doesn't make you a better or more loyal fan than anyone else. Going to games should be a privilege. It shouldn't be something you cast over fellow fans who don't have the same money, they don't have the same time, or they don't have the same commitments as you. As I've said to you, Dave, I would love to go to games home and away. I don't have the time, money, or lack of commitments other people might do. I gave up my season ticket, granted I only had it for a couple of years, probably in the worst 2 years I could have got it as well, mind you. But I gave it up for family reasons. Likewise with yourself, you had your season ticket for, what, 20 years?
Yeah.
You gave that up as well for family reasons. Not everybody's in that same position. You cannot cast up that against fellow fans if they decide to take something up or they don't decide to take something up. MyJers is a loyalty scheme. Much like your Tesco club card points, if you don't spend money in Tesco's, you don't get the club card points and ultimately incentives. If you go and spend your money somewhere else, you know, you get that as well. Again, people moaning at the fact that you're going to away games. Well, what part of buying a ticket at the away club, getting your transport, getting your pies, your programmes, all your alcohol for the way up, all your sundries and things like that, What part of that money goes into Rangers?
None.
Absolutely none. So quite rightly, there's no incentive for that. Commendable that you're going, great that you've got the lack of commitments, but you cannot cast that up against your fellow fan for not having the same lack of commitments or money that you've got. So I know it's a motive subject for everyone. I'm not trying to come across all high and mighty and all that, because I've not got a horse in this race. I've not signed up for my jersey because I don't have the money. I don't have a season ticket because I don't have the time or money as well. So it's your own personal choice whether you do that. It annoys me when I see people moaning about this, that and the other when it comes to my jersey and putting money directly into the club.
I think you summed up the example perfectly there, Derek, with talking about Tesco club card. I know it's totally different, but I think maybe a lot of people are needing to look at it that way, at the fact that you're not going to get anything out of it unless you're going to be putting money into it. And as you say, I think a lot of folk think, oh, well, I signed up for you know, for my jersey, so I should be getting this, I should be getting that. It's basically, you put it exactly, it's a way for the club to try and make money, Derek, and that's what it should be. If you've got the money and you want to put it into Rangers, then go and do it. And you know, the more you put in, the more you'll get out. It is difficult for a lot of fans out there, you know, that can't afford to do these things and do feel, you know, left out a wee bit. But that's just life, Derek, isn't it? But as you say, it doesn't make you any less a fan or a supporter if you're not putting money in. So it's unfortunately, we do see a lot of it, that there is a lot of fans who, again, maybe a wee bit, we used it before, we were talking about the Celtic fans, who are sort of, they feel entitled, you know, to stuff, you know, maybe because they've been going to the games home and away faithfully for the last sort of 30 years and stuff like that, then that's brilliant. But as you quite rightly said, you can't just say that it makes you a better supporter and more entitled to stuff than anyone else. It's just it's your circumstances and, you know, what you've got going. As I say, as soon as I finish working shifts, the first thing that I'll be going doing is just to try and get my season ticket back again. But I'm not in the position to do that myself, and that's why I've got to make do with trying to get to, you know, a few games a season that I can get to. But, you know, if everyone is different, but I'm the same as you, Derek. I see a lot of that, and I think to myself, you know, you're not any different just because you're going to all of these games. You know, it is quite disappointing when you see stuff like that, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, again, I'm not taking away from any fan whatsoever who have actually bought a season ticket this year, because you bought it in the full, I would probably imagine, you bought it in the full knowledge that you probably never got to go to the games this season at Ibrox. And that's, you know, fantastic. But at the same time, it's a personal choice, you know. So is my jersey perfect? Absolutely not. Does it need work? Of course it does, but you're never going to get a system that fits, that one size fits all, and that's always going to be the problem. Away tickets are always going to be a problem because there's always going to be more demand than there is supply. Even if chairmen of other clubs got it through their heads that the fact that they would sell out the grounds every single time that we came, if they gave us three stands, there's still going to be more people that want tickets than there is supply. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be an argument forever long, and I'm pretty sure we'll be talking about this again.
Yeah.
However, next thing here is we've been hit with a £10,000 fine from UEFA for the late kickoff against Benfica. I'm really not sure how that can be our fault, and it was actually originally put down as that Steven Gerrard was charged against it because it was his fault. So unless they've kept them back at a pre-match team talk too long or something like that, I really don't understand. And see, if it's for TV deals, I really don't understand as well, because what happens if a game has 10 minutes injury time in the first half?
Yeah.
Then your schedule's going to be fucked for the start of the next half anyway. Yeah. So it's a baffling one, but, you know, they give less fines out for, you know, violence in the stadium and dodgy songs. So UEFA, corrupt as ever. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Next thing here is, due to the COVID issues, Motherwell were awarded a 3-0 win against Kilmarnock for their now cancelled fixture due to Kilmarnock admitting COVID breaches of seating of their team coach and at mealtime. And Motherwell were again handed a 3-0 win, and Hamilton were awarded a 3-0 win against St Mirren after St Mirren admitted no physical distancing in training, no physical distancing in their coach, on the coach to the games, and the players admitted car sharing as well, and no area to social distancing properly. Very controversial, certainly, as Motherwell and Hamilton both have a member of their board on the SPFL board as well. And it's a very, very dangerous precedent I think the SPFL have set now.
Yes. As you say, when you delve into it, I mean, don't get me wrong, Derek, absolute stupidity, especially by the guys that are car sharing. Do you know what I mean? That absolutely, you know, stupid. All the other COVID breaches that have been put out there as well, you know, it's been, you know, this it's been the biggest story of the year. Everybody knows what they should and what they shouldn't do. So to the clubs, you know, absolutely, you know, stupidity for them to be, you know, in that position. But as you say, it kind of does smell a bit funny for the fact that the clubs that have made out of this, they've got, you know, chairman on the board. It's quite... it's something fishy, it smells. And as you again alluded to, it is they're setting a very, very dangerous precedent here, aren't they? Because this is now going to have to be set in stone. So it's I don't think there's been any other leagues out there that have, you know, handed out punishments like that. And it's a very, very rocky road, isn't it, that they're going down, and we'll just have to see what happens. Hopefully there's not going to be any other sort of COVID related things happening in Scottish football that they'll not have to, but it seems to all been coming at this the sort of one time. So very strange.
Yeah. Next thing from the SPFL, the clubs still haven't received £1 million in TV money from last year, despite being told that ending the season early was the only way to get the money.
Yep.
Doncaster has said that COVID-related issues have caused the delay, all to do with apparently their accounts not being signed off. Well, other teams have had their accounts signed off by their, you know, accountants, so not sure what the issue is here.
I honestly, when it came out, Derek, I had a laugh to myself, because it was pushed through, rushed through. It was the only solution, even although Rangers came up with a viable solution for everyone. That was thrown out instantly. This was the only way to go, the only way for the clubs to get their money. And now, lo and behold, they've not. They're still withholding that money. So we did... You know, as we told you so moment, isn't it? Again, corrupt to the core is all I can say. Again, pushed through for certain reasons that we all know why. And, you know, it's came to fruition. We all knew that something like that was going to happen. Sheer bullshit just to suit certain elements in Scottish football. And again, just another farce, isn't it?
Well, if you want to know another farce, is that Leanne Dempster, the CEO of Hibs, has had to come out and apologise to the supporters and their head coach, as their game against Celtic in January has been moved without their knowledge. Mm-hmm. Celtic apparently had requested Hibs to move their game in January. Hibs originally said no because it didn't work for them, as is their right. However, the SPFL appears to have agreed to this without without consulting with Hibs, and, you know, without Hibs' knowledge as well. And they're absolutely quite right to region.
Exactly.
And this is all to accommodate Celtic trying to have some sort of winter break.
Yep, exactly. It's incredible. But Derek, we've seen it all before. There's been phantom tours of Japan, hasn't there? There's been, you know, it's happened time and time again where they've been accommodated. Quite incredible. It doesn't surprise me in the slightest. And again, it just stinks to high heavens, doesn't it?
I mean, as you said, you know, we did offer to pay for an investigation. Yep. We did say to them, but you know, they reap what they sow, and it's quite hard to feel any sympathy whatsoever for any of the clubs affected with the 3-0 losses or things like this.
No, you know exactly.
Yeah. So, nude woman caught touching herself outside chicken shop. Vanessa Lee Jones was seen completely naked and thoroughly enjoying herself outside a chicken shop in St. Petersburg, Florida, but police say drugs and alcohol were not involved.
Okay.
A woman in the United States who was arrested for public masturbation just a few weeks ago has been arrested again for the same offence. According to the St. Petersburg police arrest paperwork, Jones, age 38, showed no sign of being drunk or under the influence of drugs, and there was no evidence of mental health issues. Nevertheless, she was observed outside Popeye's Fried Chicken at 10 a.m. entirely naked, touching herself. Arresting officers also witnessed the defendant masturbating in front of the dumpster completely naked.
Oh my God.
And later examination of CCTV footage from Popeyes meant that Jones was observed on security cameras masturbating while fully naked as well.
The question I've got for you is, how long the security in Popeyes, how long did it take them to phone the police after watching her on the CCTV?
She was previously arrested on the 30th of September for doing the exact same thing outside a 7-Eleven convenience store. On that occasion, she was allegedly spotted at 11 a.m. continuously rubbing her vagina outside a supermarket, and Jones, who was said to be smirking at the time of the first incident, was reportedly observed by a male who video recorded the incident.
I bet he did.
And showed the evidence to the arresting officers.
After showing it to his mates.
Exactly. Whatever floats your boat, eh?
Oh my God! I St. Petersburg in Florida, and I take it, Derek, you've got your source that you get this from? Was there any pictures? I take it there wasn't, no.
There was no pictures, no.
So you just have to use your imagination.
Yeah. So we've went from chicken fuckers last week to last time to a woman having pleasure outside a chicken shop.
Chicken shop. Popeye's chicken. There you go.
So, on that note, we will end the podcast. As ever, if you want to check out the other stuff that we do, you can go to our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com, and there you can find links to our other match reactions and other podcasts.
Yes.
So, Dave, you got any final words for this time's podcast?
Just Derek, I just want the team to keep, we've said it over the last few podcasts, we just want the team to focus one game at a time. Let them have all the, you know, the national press where there's the meltdown that they're having. We just keep continuing going the way that we are, everything as professional as possible. I hope they go out and put their strongest team out on Thursday and top the group, because that would be a fantastic achievement, Derek. Even, you know, it'd be an incredible achievement to top the group. I really hope we do, and then hopefully go on another straightforward victory against Dundee United at the weekend. So good luck, cheers.
Absolutely. So thanks for listening and goodbye.
Take care, folks. Bye bye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white, and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.